Welcome to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast with co-founders and hosts, Tracy Callahan and Deborah Doak. Each week, we tackle another tough topic to help professional divorce coaches maximize client impact and cultivate thriving practices. We also want to spread the word about the expertise and value that certified divorce coaches bring to the table. At DCA, we are committed to ongoing learning and we value generosity among divorce coaching professionals. We believe that when one succeeds, we all succeed. Welcome back to Divorce Coaches Academy. I am Tracy and I am here with Deborah. Hi.
Hi there. I'm happy to see you.
Happy to see you. Happy all of you joining in and listening to us today. So we're talking about something really important to us professional practicing divorce coaches, right? Because most of us practice and run our own independent arenas, right? We do this work independently. And when I think of the work we do as professional divorce coaches in building and managing our independent practices, I cannot help but think of the famous Buddha quote that begins with the saying, "And be an island unto yourself."
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is familiar with that quote or not familiar with that quote, when Buddha was 80 years old and knew he wasn't going to live much longer, he offered the practice of island of self to his students. And he said that there is a safe island within yourself that you can go back to every time you feel afraid, unstable, or in despair. And for me, this quote truly encapsulates the essence of solopreneurship. We ourselves are islands in the business world, a cluster of us, each with our own practices, sitting out in this really big ocean. And in this way of surviving out there on our own, it is so important to remember that it is our strength, ideas, and ability to overcome obstacles has to come from within, right? That even though the journey might feel like we are totally out there on our own, we have what it takes to create, innovate, and succeed right there within ourselves. But damn, Deborah, it is hard. It is so hard.
It's hard.
It is so hard. Solopreneurship is not just a business venture. It is truly a courageous journey where we are our own architects of our destiny. Navigating the challenges of self-reliance, embracing the solitude of innovation, and finding strength in the resilience of our entrepreneurial spirit. So yes, yes, exciting on one hand, yet tremendously scary on the other. So today we are shining a light on two of the biggest struggles faced by us brave individuals running our businesses solo. And I can tell you from years of experience working and training certified divorce coaches, the majority of us do practice independently. And from juggling multiple hats to navigating the sometimes lonely path of entrepreneurship, we are doing it all. And not everyone makes it.
Mm-mm. No, that's the sad truth, that not everyone makes it.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to talk about today. And so let's dive into some of the challenges that we face as solopreneurs. The first big hurdle is that we wear so many darn hats.
Mm-hmm.
And wearing these many hats in the context of solopreneurship means we're talking about the multifaceted roles we take on when we're running this business alone. It's not just seeing clients, right?
Yeah.
In larger companies, tasks can and often are distributed among various team members. When you're a solopreneur, you're responsible for every aspect of your own business. You know, I don't know about you, Tracy, but I do everything. I don't have an assistant.
Nope. No assistant over here.
No assistant. I'm my own assistant. I always say, yeah, my boss gave me the day off, you know?
Yeah, I get myself my own coffee and tea and
answer my own emails.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what are some of the hats, or what are the things that solopreneurs typically engage in? Let's go through this list.
Yeah, it's business. A big list.
It's a big list. Yeah, just putting the list together felt like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So business planning. This is everything from, yes, developing your business plan to setting those KPIs, key performance indicators, to reviewing and refining your business strategy regularly. We hope you're doing that. So that you can adapt to changing market conditions, client needs, personal goals. If things in your life change, you may need to change your business plans, right? So business planning, we have to be intentional.
Intentional.
Market research. We should be doing some research, conducting some sort of activity to understand our target audience, their needs, their preferences, and the competitive landscape out there.
Yeah.
Branding, creating a unique brand that reflects not just the services I provide, but my values, my voice, the positioning in the market as a certified divorce coach, right? In our training, I introduced the concept when we talk about branding of the cereal aisle, and there's room for everybody. You can be a Fruit Loop, you can be a Cheerio, you can be a Cinnamon Toast Crunch or some, you know, tree bark granola. There's somebody out there looking for you, but that's branding. Who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, marketing.
You say, oh, but it is your strength, not so much mine, right?
Well, no, because we do different kinds of marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how are you going about marketing, right? You've got to promote your services. And this can take a lot of time or a little time, and it depends where you are in your business development curve. But this is promoting your services through social media, email marketing, content creation, networking, advertising, the grassroots marketing that we talk about being so important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What else?
Sales. Yes. Sales, right? Handling the sales process. It is a sales process. I know what we do is very service oriented, but we're still selling our services. Okay. That includes lead generation, prospecting, nurturing client relationships, and converting those prospects to clients, to paying clients.
Yeah. Only if you want to make money as it sales. Yeah,
exactly. Excellent point, Deborah. Right. And then client management, right? Managing client inquiries, scheduling appointments, sending invoices, collecting payments, all of those sort of nuts and bolts. We got the sale. Now we have to maintain that client. And it's not just in the sessions that you're providing, right? It's all those other things. The yes. other things.
The other things. The agreement. The Right.
Yeah. Financial management. Bookkeeping. Keeping track of your income, expenses, and taxes. Yes.
Self-employment taxes.
Yes, yes, yes. As well as budgeting and financial planning, right? How much money are you bringing in? How much money are you taking to live that you're dedicating? How much are you dedicating to marketing, perhaps, or other avenues?
Professional development.
Professional development. Key. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's ethical and legal compliance, right? Mm. So if you've been certified through, you know, one of the reputable groups like DCA, you've got a code of ethics and professional responsibility you've got to hold up. You need to pay attention to the unauthorized practice of law, confidentiality, all those things governing your business. Yeah. If you've got an LLC or an S-Corp, right? All the IRS reporting that needs to be done. If you've got an EIN, there's a new rule this year about some sort of report you need to do to the IRS. I can't remember what it is. My tax person told me about it.
But you're responsible
for making sure that you comply with everything, and ignorance is not an excuse.
Absolutely.
Right?
We
don't have a legal department. I am the legal department.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And knowing when to seek expert perspective, right? But we're still responsible. It's our responsibility.
It's our responsibility.
Driving that train, right?
Yes.
Administration, Right. We just talked about that. I'm my own assistant. You're your own assistant, Deborah, handling administrative tasks such as email management, document organization, maintaining client records.
Do you know what I hate more than anything? And I wish I had a filing fairy. So
a filing fairy.
I wish I had a filing fairy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Then, of course, there's tech management. Right? This is sort of our technology, managing technology tools and platforms needed to run your coaching practice efficiently, such as scheduling software or communication tools, client management systems, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Then there's content creation. If you are out there and you want to get known, right? You're likely trying to write blog posts, write articles, create videos, host webinars, pitch yourself to be on podcasts or hosting a podcast. You're posting on social media, right? That takes a lot of time to create all that content. You should have a strategy for that.
Absolutely.
Networking, right? It's important to have relationships in the industry with people that do different jobs than you and even people that are other professional divorce coaches. So you've got to build and nurture relationships with those people. That takes time and energy. So how are you carving out time in your day, in your week to do those activities, to create referral partnerships or other potential clients? Are you attending networking events, conferences? Are you part of an online community? We mentioned continuing ed and professional development. What are you seeking out? How do you want to go to the next level? What do you want to learn next? That takes money, that takes time, that takes intention, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's customer service, right? Ensuring that we're providing quality services to our clients for their satisfaction and retention, which we know is key in referral-based grassroots marketing, right? And as well as handling any inquiries or issues that do arise. Being prompt, right? That all speaks to your customer's experience, your client's experience. Yeah. So,
and a satisfied client will tell how many people about how great you are.
Three. For sure. And if it's bad, seven.
Yes.
Seven. So it's a multiplication of three and then it's decimation on the other side, right?
Exactly.
So Deborah, I'm just exhausted talking about all these things. It's a lot, right? Multiple hats, multiple faceted. We are responsible for all of it.
Yes.
So let's talk about now that second biggest hurdle experienced by many solopreneurs, and that's isolation.
Yeah.
Being a solopreneur can feel lonely, and working alone can lead to feelings of isolation, especially for solopreneurs who do not have colleagues or coworkers to interact with on a regular basis. And did you know that isolation can impact our own well-being and business success?
Yeah. Right.
Hugely important, right?
Hugely.
So let's now dive into some factors that contribute to that isolation, right? First and obvious, lack of social interaction. Solopreneurs often work alone, right? We're on Zoom all day long. We're alone, right? There's people we're working with, but we're alone. Which means that we do go for long periods without social interaction. And this isolation can lead to feelings of loneliness and detachment, especially for individuals who thrive on collaboration and teamwork. For many years before I joined the field of alternative dispute resolution, I worked in really huge, big collaborative teams. I know you did too, Deborah, right? Mm-hmm. And even though I didn't always love everyone I worked with, some of my most impactful personal relationships were with those people who I shared a professional relationship with, right? We had a sense of camaraderie and showed up for one another. We shared happy hours. We did birthdays, marriages, births, divorces, right? But there was that built-in social interaction piece.
Right, right. And now I'm home. And then when I'm done with work, I'm home with myself.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
And
it could feel very lonely, right? And then we have a limited support network, right? Without coworker or colleagues to turn to for advice or support, we can feel isolated when grappling with challenges or seeking feedback on ideas. Hey, Tracy, what do you think about that? Well, right? I'm talking to myself all day. So this lack of support network can make it harder to navigate the ups and downs of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it can. And that can lead to decreased motivation. Mm-hmm. So this working in isolation can sometimes really kind of put a damper on our motivation and our enthusiasm, particularly during difficult times when we're facing setbacks, maybe when we're not reaching our goals as quickly as we'd like to. Without that kind of camaraderie and the encouragement of others, like that's readily available, solopreneurs can struggle to stay motivated and focus. So you have to intentionally seek that. It's not built into our structure as a solopreneur.
Nope.
It's not. And so that can have an impact on our mental health then. This prolonged isolation can lead to feelings of anxiety, depression, and stress. So when you add the pressure of running a business and all those jobs and roles that we just went through, that was exhausting. When you add that to a lack of social connection, it can really exacerbate the impact on our mental health and affect our overall well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. And another piece is there's limited networking opportunities, right? You kind of mentioned it before. We have to seek it out.
Yeah.
Building a professional network is so crucial for business growth and success. But solopreneurs find it challenging to network effectively when they work alone. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We have to go seek it. Because we're juggling it all, we may inevitably miss out on valuable opportunities for collaboration, partnerships, or mentorship. So important.
So important. And it's such a relatively new profession. There aren't millions of us out there.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And we're kind of spread out all over the place, right? It's a little sparse across the globe, actually, right?
Right.
Which then is the challenge to difficult when we're trying to generate ideas. I'm a brainstormer. I want to talk it out, right? But it can be difficult when we're in isolation, right? Without that stimulation of diverse perspectives and brainstorming sessions with colleagues, solopreneurs may struggle to come up with innovative solutions, right? To business problems, to think out of the box, kind of stuck there.
Right.
Right.
You also don't have anybody to push back and reality test your bad ideas.
Absolutely.
Can I add that?
Yeah, to debate. Like, yeah.
Right. When you say, Tracy, I think this is a great idea. And you yourself go, yes, I think that's fabulous. But if you ran it by me, I'd be like, are you crazy?
Exactly.
Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And you'd be like, oh, yeah. So we don't have that.
Nope.
And in general, what it does is it increases the risk of burnout. So this isolation combined with the demands of running a business really increases the risk of burnout for solopreneurs. And we've talked about this ICF statistic, this study that said 4 out of 5 coaching businesses fail.
Yeah.
Scary thought. There's lots we can put in place to prevent that, but a lot of that is burnout. It is just burnout. It's because of these two things. So without breaks or opportunities for social connections, what happens is we can push ourselves too hard, neglect our own well-being, and then implode.
Implode.
Implode because we're not reaching our goals. We feel isolated. We don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. So we just throw in the towel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if these are struggles that you face in solopreneurship, what should you do?
Yeah.
What
can you do?
Well, let's take a coaching approach, shall we? Let's start with awareness. So we have to be honest with ourselves and name the struggles. We have to name it to claim it so we can tame it.
Yeah.
So yes, we can do it all, but at what cost? Do we want to burn out? Do we want to implode? The good news is there are strategies we can develop and implement in our daily practice to help us manage some of these.
Yeah.
So let's start with the challenge of wearing so many hats. I find when I'm tasked with so many things to do, it can make me feel like a failure on so many fronts, right? Like, yeah, there's so much to do and I'm not getting it all done. So I must be a loser, mm-hmm. right? Everything yeah. can't get all my attention all the time. So I have to be really clear about prioritizing what is important, managing my time, and streamlining my processes. Those are lifesavers.
Absolutely, right? So prioritizing involves identifying the most critical tasks that directly contribute to growth and success of our businesses, right? By focusing on completing these tasks first, we can plan out less important tasks until necessary. But often we misappropriate prioritizing by doing tasks that we like first, right? The ones that we're really good at, we do them first. I get it. I do it all the time, right? But we need to be able, if we need to generate more consult calls, yet I'm placing all of my energy into learning the ins and outs of my new shiny customer management system, I'm getting lost in activity that may be important when I do have clients, but not so much now since I don't have that many clients, right? So prioritizing, really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And time management really involves efficiently managing your time by setting clear priorities, establishing a schedule, and utilizing productivity techniques. So,
yeah, how you work on time, right? Yeah. A lot of people have some of these tools. One of them is a Pomodoro technique, and it's really just dedicating a certain amount of work time, right? Focused work time, setting a timer for 25 minutes, picking one task and working on it. And then when the timer beeps, we write down what the task was, give ourselves a 5-minute break. If we didn't finish the task, go back and do it again. Okay. And you could read more about, there's so many amazing time management skills, strategies out there. Mm-hmm. Think about it, right? How right. are you working productively? Because you can sit there all day and be looking at Instagram and seeing what other people's posts are. And then an hour has gone by and you haven't created one social media post, which was the intended task that you were looking at doing.
Exactly. So another technique is something that called eat your frogs first, which is sit down at the beginning of the day and do the task that feels biggest, hardest, or least palatable first. Get it out of the way and then it's not hanging over you all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And it feels good when you do it. Yeah.
I got it done. I ate my frog first. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you want to look for ways to streamline your workflows and automate repetitive tasks using tools and software if that's something you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I love tools and software.
You do.
Because I'm ADHD. And if left to my own devices, I will never follow up and do things in the same order. It's just, yeah. So awareness, I know myself, I know what works for me. And I need to free up time and mental energy for things that are more strategic. That's what I'm prioritizing.
Yeah. And whether that's an automated system or a manually generated system, there's a process.
It's a system.
You streamline it.
Easily repeatable system that's in place.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Yeah. So now let's talk about how to take care of ourselves and often this lonely work of being a solopreneur. Yeah. We have to be proactive to stay connected and engaged, right? And this can include lots of different things, joining industry-specific communities or network groups to connect with peers and share experiences, right? Attending conferences, professional development, classes, courses, meetups with like-minded professionals to expand your network. Seek out mentorship, right? Or coaching relationships to gain the guidance and confidence from experienced entrepreneurs, which leads me into Divorce Coaches Academy's Case Consultation and Mastermind Group, which meets monthly, 2 times, right?
Right.
Make sure we're scheduling regular breaks to incorporate activities that promote social interaction and relaxation into our routine. I don't know about you guys, but I can literally start working at 7 o'clock in the morning and stop at 8 o'clock at night. And I need to be very conscious of that. I need to be able to take breaks, trying to incorporate going out for a little walk in between clients, right? Changing my environment, changing my scenery. That's for me to be able to be successful, continue to take care of myself, right?
Right.
And of course, Some people like to explore co-working spaces or shared office arrangements to work alongside other professionals, right, to combat feelings of isolation. There's a cost involved, but if you're feeling isolated, it may be something that is important to do for you.
Well, I've done that sometimes just personally to switch it up. If I'm having trouble writing that blog post, mm-hmm. I will pack up my laptop in my backpack and head over to Starbucks. And sometimes just that change of environment is enough to give me a little jolt. So
crucial.
I mean, there's no doubt that there are so many benefits to working for ourselves as solopreneurs. We enjoy the freedom. We enjoy the flexibility. We love the personal growth and fulfillment. There's financial potential there. Mm-hmm. But those very benefits, you know how everything has a light side and a dark side? Those very benefits can also be the challenges because we're solely responsible for our own income and our own success.
Yeah.
Right? So we are fierce advocates for the practice of professional divorce coaching, and we want you to succeed. When you succeed, we all succeed. So we, Tracy and I, are here to help. We're here to support you. If you're struggling with building your practice, if you're feeling isolated in your work, if you're starting to feel burned out, if it's starting to impact your mental health, we're going to encourage you to seek guidance, seek some help, seek some support. Just like we tell our clients, you don't have to do this alone. So mm-hmm. one option, we would encourage you to check out our case consultation and mastermind group. We meet 2 times a month. We meet on the first Tuesday of the month at noon Eastern time and on the third Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's a collaborative group with colleagues. We share, we process complicated cases. We talk about best business practices. It's just a lot of support and camaraderie. Tracy and I are there to provide professional mentorship. And it's especially just designed for you to be part of a community of professionals. So don't do it alone. Let's do it together.
Do it together.
We're better together.
We are better together. Even though we are all islands, we can still be a group of islands, right? And we can share resources and go from island to island and know that you're not alone.
Yeah, right? know that you're not alone. So I know we ran a little long today. Thanks for hanging out with us. We wanted to be sure to cover all these tips and tools and stuff to hopefully help you make your journey as a solopreneur a little bit less daunting. Join us next week when we'll cover another topic to help you build your business and impact clients. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us for the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. It helps other divorce professionals find us and add to the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media to be the first to know when we add new classes and events. We'll be back next week with another topic to help you maximize client impact, create a thriving business, and promote the value of professional divorce coaching.